Hello, and we are here for our final instalment of the Teachers Performing and in Spectacles with Act 3.
You know, don't you?
Yes, we know.
Eric, I can't believe it. There must be some mistake. You don't know what we've been saying.
It's a good job for him he doesn't, isn't it?
Why?
Because Mother's been busy blaming everything on the young man who got this girl into trouble and saying he shouldn't escape and should be made an example of.
That's enough, Sheila.
You haven't made it any easier for me, have you, Mother?
But I didn't know it was you. I never dreamt. Besides, you're not that type. You don't get drunk.
Of course he does. I told you he did.
You told her? Why, you little sneak.
No, that's not fair, Eric. I could have told her months ago, but of course I didn't. I only told her tonight because I knew everything was coming out. It was simply bound to come out tonight. So I thought she might as well know in advance. Don't forget, I've already been through it.
Sheila, simply don't understand your attitude.
Neither do I. If you'd had any sense of loyalty...
Just a minute, Mrs. Burling. There'll be plenty of time when I've gone for you all to adjust your family relationships. But now I must hear what your son has to tell me. And I'll be obliged if you let us get on without any further interruptions. Now then.
Could I have a drink first?
No.
Yes. I know he's your son and this is your house. But look at him. He needs a drink now, just to see him through.
All right, go on. I understand a lot of things now I didn't understand before.
Don't start on that, I want to get on. When did you first meet this girl?
One night last November.
Where did you meet her?
In the Palace Bar. I'd been there for an hour or so with two or three chaps. I was a bit squiffy.
What happened then?
I began talking to her and stood her a few drinks. I was rather far gone by the time we had to go.
Was she drunk too?
She told me afterwards that she was a bit chiefly because she'd not had much to eat that day.
And why had she gone there?
She wasn't the usual sort. But, well, I suppose she didn't know what to do. There was some woman who wanted her to go there. I never quite understood about that.
You went with her to her lodgings that night?
Yes, I insisted, it seems. I'm not very clear about it, but afterwards she told me that she didn't want me to go in, but that, well, I was in that state when a chap hastily turns nasty, and I threatened to make a row.
So she let you in?
And that's when it happened. And I didn't even remember... That's the hellish thing. Oh, my God. How stupid it all is.
Oh, Eric. How could you?
Sheila, take your mother along to the drawing room.
But I want to...
You heard what I said. Go on now, Sybil.
When did you meet her again?
About a fortnight afterwards.
By appointment?
No, and I couldn't remember her name or where she lived. It was all very vague. But I happened to see her again in the Palace Bar.
More drinks?
Yes, though that time I wasn't so bad.
But you took her home again?
Yes, and this time we talked a bit. She told me something about herself and I talked too. Told her my name and what I did.
And you made love again?
Yes. I wasn't in love with her or anything, but I liked her. She was pretty and a good sport.
So you had to go to bed with her?
Well, I'm old enough to be married, aren't I? And I'm not married, and I hate these fat old tarts around the town. The ones I see some of your respectable friends with.
I don't want any of that talk from you.
I don't want any of it from either of you. Settle it afterwards. Did you arrange to see each other after that?
Yes. And the next time, or the time after that, she told me she thought she was going to have a baby. She wasn't quite sure. And then she was.
And of course she was very worried about it?
Yes. And so was I. I was in a hell of a state about it.
Did she suggest that you ought to marry her?
No. She didn't want me to marry her. Said I didn't love her and all that. In a way, she treated me as if I was a kid, though I was nearly as old as she was.
So what did you propose to do?
Well, she hadn't a job and didn't feel like trying again for one, and she had no money left, so I insisted on giving her enough money to keep her going until she refused to take any more.
How much did you give her altogether?
I suppose about £50 all told.
£50 on top of drinking and going around town? Where'd you get £50 from?
That's my question too.
I got it from the office.
My office?
Yes.
You mean you stole the money?
Not really.
What do you mean, not really?
This isn't my fault.
I'm sorry, Arthur, but I simply couldn't stay in here. I had to know what's happening.
Well, I can tell you what's happening. He's admitted he was responsible for the girl's condition and now he's telling us he supplied her with money he stole from the office.
Eric, you stole money?
No, not really. I intended to pay it back.
We've heard that story before. How could you have paid it back?
I'd have managed somehow. I had to have some money.
I don't understand. How could you take as much as that out of the office without somebody knowing?
There were some small amounts to collect and I asked for cash.
Gave the firm's receipt and then kept the money, eh?
Yes.
You must give me a list of those accounts. I've got to cover this up as soon as I can. You damned fool. Why didn't you come to me when you found yourself in this mess?
Because you're not the kind of father a chap could go to when he's in trouble, that's why.
Don't talk to me like that. Your trouble is you've been spoilt.
And my trouble is that I haven't much time. You'll be able to divide the responsibility between you when I've gone. Just one last question, that's all. The girl discovered that this money you were giving to her was stolen, didn't she?
Yes, and that was the worst of all. She wouldn't take any more, and she didn't want to see me again. Here, but how did you know that? Did she tell you?
No, she told me nothing. I never spoke to her.
She told Mother.
Sheila.
Well, he has to know.
She told you? Did she come here? But then she couldn't have done. She didn't even know I lived here. What happened? Come on, don't just look at me like that. Tell me. Tell me what happened.
I'll tell you. She went to your mother's committee for help after she'd done with you. Your mother refused her that help.
Then you killed her. She came to you to protect me and you turned her away. Yes, and you killed her and the child she'd had too. My child. Your own grandchild. You killed them both. Damn you. Damn you.
No, Eric, please. I didn't know. I did understand.
You don't understand anything. You never did. You never even tried. You...
Eric, don't.
Why, you hysterical young fool. Get back or I'll...
Stop. And be quiet for a moment and listen to me. I don't need to know anymore. Neither do you. This girl killed herself and died a horrible death. But each of you helped to kill her. Remember that. Never forget it. But then, I don't think you ever will. Remember what you did, Mrs. Burling. You turned her away when she needed most help. You refused her even the pitiable little bit of organised charity you had in your power to grant her. Remember what you did.
My God, I'm not likely to forget.
Just used her for the end of a stupid drunken evening, as if she was an animal, a thing, not a person. No, you won't forget.
I know. I had her turned out of a job. I started it.
You helped, but didn't start it. You started it. She wanted 25 shillings a week instead of 22 and 6. You made her pay a heavy price for that, and now she'll make you pay a heavier price still.
Look, Inspector, I'd give thousands, yes, thousands.
You're offering money at the wrong time, Mr. Burling. No, I don't think any of you will forget, nor that young man, Croft, though at least he had some affection for her and made her happy for a time. Well, Eva Smith's gone. You can't do her any more harm, and you can't do her any good now, either. You can't even say, I'm sorry, Eva Smith.
That's the worst of it.
But just remember this. One Eva Smith has gone, but there are millions and millions and millions of Eva Smiths and John Smiths still left with us, with their lives, their hopes and fears, their suffering and chance of happiness, all intertwined with our lives, with what we think and say and do. We don't live alone. We are members of one body. We are responsible for each other. And I tell you that the time will soon come when if men will not learn that lesson, they will be taught it in fire and blood and anguish.
You're the one I blame for this.
I'll bet I am.
Yes, and you don't realise it yet, all you've done. Most of this is bound to come out. There'll be a public scandal.
Well, I don't care now.
You don't seem to care about anything, but I care. I was almost certain for a knighthood in the next honours list.
Oh, for God's sake, what does it matter now whether they give you a knighthood or not?
It doesn't matter to you. Apparently nothing matters to you. But it may interest you to know that until every penny of that money you stole is repaid, you'll work for nothing. And there's going to be no more of this drinking round the town and picking up women in the palace bar.
I should think not. Eric, I'm absolutely ashamed of you.
Well, I don't blame you. But don't forget I'm ashamed of you as well. Yes, both of you.
Drop that. There's every excuse for that boat your mother and I did. It turned out, unfortunately, that's all.
That's all?
Well, what have you to say?
I don't know where to begin.
Then don't begin. Nobody wants you to.
I behaved badly too. I know I did. I'm ashamed of it. But now you're beginning all over again to pretend that nothing much has happened.
Nothing much has happened. Happened, I already said, there'll be a public scandal. Unless we're lucky. And who here will suffer from that more than I will?
But that's not what I'm talking about. I don't care about that. The point is, you don't seem to have learnt anything.
Don't I? Well, you're quite wrong there. I've learnt plenty tonight. And you don't want me to tell you what I've learnt, I hope. When I look back on tonight, when I think of what I was feeling when the five of us sat down to dinner at that table.
Yes, and do you remember what you said to Gerald and me after dinner, when you were feeling so pleased with yourself? You told us that a man has to make his own way, look after himself and mind his own business, and that we weren't to take any notice of these cranks who tell us that everybody has to look after everybody else, as if we were all mixed up together. Do you remember? Yes, and then one of those cranks walked in, the inspector. I didn't notice you told him that it's every man for himself.
Is that when the inspector came, just after Father said that?
Yes, what of it?
Now what's the matter, Sheila?
It's queer, very queer.
I know what you're going to say, because I'm wondering myself.
It doesn't much matter now, of course, but was he really a police inspector?
Well, if he wasn't, it matters a devil of a lot. Makes all the difference.
No, it doesn't.
Don't talk rubbish. Of course it does.
Well, it doesn't to me, and it oughtn't to you either.
Don't be childish, Sheila.
I'm not being. If you want to know, it's you two who are being childish, trying not to face the facts.
I won't have that sort of talk. Any more of that, and you'll leave this room.
That'll be terrible for her, won't it?
I'm going anyhow in a minute or two. But don't you see that if all that comes out tonight is true, then it doesn't much matter who it was who made us confess. And it was true, wasn't it? You turned the girl out of one job, and I had her turned out of another. Gerald kept her at a time when he was supposed to be too busy to see me. Eric, well, we know what Eric did. And Mother hardened her heart and gave her the final push that finished her. That's what's important, and not whether a man is a police inspector or not.
He was our police inspector, all right.
That's what I mean, Eric. But if it's any comfort to you, and it isn't to me, I have an idea, and it had all, and I had it all along vaguely, and there was something curious about him. He never seemed like an ordinary police inspector.
You're right. I felt it too. Didn't you?
Well, I must say, his manner was quite extraordinary. So rude and assertive.
Then look at the way he talked to me, telling me to shut up, and so on. He must have known that I was an ex-Lord Mayor, and a magistrate, and so forth. Besides, the way he talked. You remember? I mean, they don't talk like that. I've had dealings with dozens of them.
All right, but it doesn't make any real difference, you know.
Of course it does.
No, Sheila's right, it doesn't.
That's comic, that is, coming from you. You're the one it makes the most difference to. You've confessed to theft, and now he knows all about it, and he can bring it out at the inquest, and then, if necessary, carry it to court. He can't do anything to your mother and Sheila and me, except perhaps make us look a bit ashamed of ourselves in public. But as for you, he can ruin you, you know.
We hardly ever told him anything he didn't know. Did you notice that?
That's nothing. He had a bit of information left by the girl and made a few smart guesses. But the fact remains that if we hadn't talked so much, he'd have little to go on. And really, when I come to think of it, why you all had to go letting everything come out like that beats me.
It's all right talking like that now, but he made us confess.
He certainly didn't make me confess. And as you all call it, I told him quite plainly that I thought I had done no more than my duty.
Oh, Mother.
The fact is, you allowed yourselves to be bluffed. Yes, bluffed.
Now really, Arthur?
No, not you, my dear, but these two. That fellow obviously didn't like us. He was prejudiced from the start, probably a socialist or some sort of crank. He talked like one, and then, instead of standing up to him, you let him bluff you into talking about your private affairs. You ought to have stood up to him.
Well, I didn't notice you standing up to him.
No, because by that time you'd have admitted you'd been taking money. What chance had I after that? I was a fool not to have insisted upon seeing him alone.
That wouldn't have worked.
Of course it wouldn't.
Really, from the way you children talk, You might be wanting to help him instead of us. Now just be quiet so that your father can decide what we ought to do.
Yes, well, we'll have to do something and get to work quickly. Now, who's this? Had I better go?
No, Edna'll go. I asked her to wait up to make us some tea.
It might be Gerald coming back.
Yes, of course. I'd forgotten about him.
It's Mr. Crow.
I hope you don't mind me coming back.
No, of course not, Gerald.
I had a special reason for coming. When did that inspector go?
Only a few minutes ago. He'd put us all through it.
Sheila!
Gerald might as well know.
Now. He didn't bother him with all that stuff.
All right. But we're all in it, up to the neck. It got worse after you left.
How did he behave?
He was frightening.
If you ask me, he behaved in a very peculiar and suspicious manner.
The rude way he spoke to Mr. Burling and me, it was quite extraordinary.
You know something. What is it?
That man wasn't a police officer.
What?
Are you certain?
I'm almost certain. That's what I came back to tell you.
Good lad. You asked him about him, eh?
Yes. I met a police sergeant I know down the road. I asked him about this Inspector Gould and described the chap carefully to him. He swore there wasn't any Inspector Gould or anybody like him on the force here.
You didn't tell him?
No. I passed it off by saying I'd been having an argument with somebody. But the point is, this sergeant was dead certain they hadn't had any inspector at all like the chap who came here.
By jingo, a fake.
Didn't I tell you? Didn't I say I couldn't imagine a real police officer talking like that to us?
Well, you were right. There isn't any such inspector. We've been had.
I'm going to make certain of this.
What are you
going
to do?
Ring up the chief constable, Colonel Roberts.
Careful what you say, dear.
Of course, Brumley 8752. I was going to do this anyhow. I've had my suspicions all along. Colonel Roberts, please. Mr. Arthur Burling here. Oh, Roberts. Burling here. Sorry to ring you up so late, but can you tell me if an Inspector Gould has joined your staff lately? Gould. G-O-O-L-E. A new man. Tall, clean-shaven. I see. Yes. Well, that settles it. No, just a little argument we are having here. Good night. There's no Inspector Gould on the police. That man definitely wasn't a police inspector at all. As Gerald says, we've been had.
I felt it all the time. I never talked like one. He never even looked like one.
This makes a difference, you know. In fact, it makes all the difference.
Of course.
I suppose we're all nice people now.
If you've nothing more sensible than that to say, Sheila, you'd better keep quiet.
She's right, though.
And you'd better keep quiet also. If that had been a police inspector and he'd heard you confess...
Arthur, careful.
Yes.
You see, Gerald, you haven't to know what the rest of our crimes and idiocies are.
That's all right. I don't want to. What do you make of this business now? Was it a hoax?
Of course. Somebody put that fellow up to coming here and hoaxing us. There was people in this town who disliked me enough to do that. We ought to have seen through it from the start. In the ordinary way, I believe I would have done so. But coming like that, bang on top of our little celebration, just when we were all feeling so pleased with ourselves, naturally it took me by surprise.
I wish I'd been there when that man first arrived. I'd have asked him a few questions before I allowed him to ask us any.
It's all right saying that now.
I was only one of you who didn't give in to him. And now I say we must discuss this business quietly and sensibly and decide if there's anything to be done about it.
You're absolutely right, my dear. Already we've discovered one important fact, and that fellow was a fraud, and we've been hoaxed, and that may not be the end of it by any means.
I'm sure it isn't.
You are, eh? Good. Eric, sit down.
I'm all right.
All right? You're anything but all right. And you needn't stand there as if...
As if what?
As if you'd nothing to do with us. Just remember your own position, young man. If anybody's up to neck in this business, you are. So you'd better take some interest in it.
I do take some interest in it. I take too much, that's my trouble.
It's mine too.
Now listen, you two. If you're still feeling on edge, then at least you can do is keep quiet. Leave this to us. I'll admit that fellow's antics rather rattled us a bit, but we've found him out. And all we have to do is keep our heads. Now it's our turn.
Our turn to do what?
To behave sensibly, Sheila, which is more than you're doing.
What's the use of talking about behaving sensibly? You're beginning to pretend now that nothing's really happened at all. And I can't see it like that. This girl's still dead, isn't she? Nobody's brought her to life, have they?
That's just what I feel, Eric. It's what they don't seem to understand.
Whoever that chap was, the fact remains that I did what I did, and Mother did what she did, and the rest of you did what you did to her. It's still the same rotten story, whether it's been told to a police inspector or to somebody else. According to you, I ought to feel a lot better. I stole some money, Gerald, you might as well know. I don't care. Let him know. The money's not the important thing. It's what happened to the girl and what we all did to her that matters. And I still feel the same about it. And that's why I don't feel like sitting down and having a nice cosy talk.
And Eric's absolutely right. And it's the best thing any one of us has said tonight. And it makes me feel a bit less ashamed of us. We're just beginning to pretend all over again.
Look, for God's sake.
Arthur.
Well, my dear, they're so damned exasperating. They just won't try to understand our position or to see the difference between a lot of stuff like this coming out in private and a downright public scandal.
And I say the girl's dead and we all helped to kill her, and that's what matters.
And I say, either stop shouting or get out. Some fathers I know would have kicked you out of the house anyhow by this time, so hold your tongue, or if you want to stay here...
I don't give a damn now whether I stay here or not.
You'll stay here long enough to give me an account of that money you stole. Yes, and to pay it back too.
But that won't bring Eva Smith back to life, will it?
And it doesn't alter the fact that we all helped to kill her.
But is it a fact?
Of course it is. You don't know the whole story yet.
I suppose you're going to prove now you didn't spend last summer keeping this girl instead of seeing me, eh?
I did keep a girl last summer. I've admitted that. And I'm sure, sorry, Sheila.
Well, I must admit you came out of it better than the rest of us. The inspector said that.
He wasn't an inspector.
Well, he inspected us all right. And don't let's start dodging and pretending now. Between us, we drove that girl to commit suicide.
Did we? Who says so? Because I say there's no more real evidence we did than there was that chap was a police officer or inspector.
Of course there is.
No, there isn't. Look at it. A man comes here pretending to be a police officer. It's a hoax of some kind. Now, what does he do? Very artfully working on bits of information he's picked up here and there, he bluffs us into confessing that we've all been mixed up in this girl's life in one way or another.
And so we have.
But how do you know it's the same girl?
Now, wait a minute. Let's see how this would work out. Now... No, it wouldn't.
We all admitted it.
All right, you all admit something to do with a girl, but how do you know it's the same girl? Look here, Mr. Burling. You sack a girl called Eva Smith. You've forgotten, but he shows you a photograph of her, and then you remember, right?
Yes, that part's straightforward enough. But what then?
Well... Then he happens to show you that Sheila once had a girl sacked from Willwood shop. He tells us that it's this same Eva Smith. And then he shows her a photograph that she recognises.
Yes, the same photograph.
How do you know it's the same photograph? Did you see the one your father looked at?
No, I didn't.
And did your father see the one he showed you?
No, he didn't. And I see what you mean now.
We've no proof it was the same photograph, and therefore no proof it was the same girl. Now take me. I never saw a photograph, remember? He caught me out by suddenly announcing that this girl changed her name to Daisy Renton. I gave myself away at once, because I'd known a Daisy Renton.
And there wasn't the slightest proof that this Daisy Renton was really Eva Smith. We've only his word of it. And with his word for it, that he was a police officer, and we know... Now he was lying. So he could have been lying all the time.
Of course he could. Probably was. Now, what happened after I left?
I was upset because Eric had left the house, and this man said that if Eric didn't come back, he'd have to go and find him. Well, that made me feel worse still, and his manner was so severe, and he seemed so confident. Then, quite suddenly, he said I'd seen an Eva Smith only 2 weeks ago.
Those were his exact words.
And like a fool, I said yes, I had.
I don't see now why you did that. She didn't call herself Eva Smith when you came to see you at the committee, did she?
No, of course she didn't. But feeling so worried, and when he suddenly turned on me with those questions, I answered more or less as he wanted me to answer.
But, Mother, don't forget that he showed you a photograph of the girl you'd seen before, and you obviously recognised it.
Did anybody else see it?
No, he showed it only to me.
Then, don't you see, there's no proof it was really the same girl. He might have showed you the photograph of any girl who applied to the committee. And how do we know she was really Eva Smith or Jaycee Renton?
Gerald's dead right. He could have used a different photograph each time and we'd be none the wiser. We may all have been recognising different girls.
Exactly. Did he ask you to identify a photograph, Eric?
No. He didn't need a photograph by the time he'd got round to me. But obviously it must have been the girl I knew who went round to see Mother.
Why must it?
She said she had had to have help because she couldn't take any more stolen money, and the girl I knew had told me that already.
Even then, that may have been all nonsense.
I don't see much nonsense about it when a girl goes and kills herself. You lot may be letting yourselves out nicely, but I can't, nor can Mother. We did her in all right.
Wait a minute. Don't be in such a hurry to put yourself into court. That interview with your mother could have been just as much a put-up job like all this police inspector business. The whole damn thing could have been a piece of bluff.
How can it? The girl's dead, isn't she?
What girl? There were probably 4 or 5 different girls.
That doesn't matter to me. The one I knew is dead.
Is she? How do we know she is?
That's right. You've got it. How do we know any girl killed herself today?
Now, answer that one. Let's look at it from this fellow's point of view. We're having a little celebration here and feeling rather pleased with ourselves. Now he has to work a trick on us. Well, the first thing he has to do is give us such a shock that after he can bluff us all the time. So he starts it right off. A girl has just died in the infirmary. She drank some strong disinfectant, died in agony.
All right, don't pile it on.
There you see. You see, just repeating it shakes you a bit. And that's what he had to do. Shake us at once, and then start questioning us until we didn't know where we were. Oh, let's admit that. We had the laugh of us all night.
He could laugh his head off, if I knew it really was all a hoax.
I'm convinced it is. No police inquiry. No one girl that all this happened to. No scandal.
And no suicides?
We can settle that at once.
How?
By ringing up the infirmary, either there's a dead girl there, or there isn't.
It will look a bit queer, won't it? Ringing up at this time of night?
I don't mind doing it.
And if there isn't?
Anyway, we'll see. Bromley 8986. Is that the infirmary? This is Mr. Gerald Croft, of Crofts Limited. Yes. We were rather worried about one of our employees. Have you had a girl brought in this afternoon who committed suicide by drinking disinfectant or any like suicide? Yes, I'll wait. Yes? You're certain of that? I see. Well, thank you very much. And good night. No girl has died in there today. Nobody has been brought in after drinking disinfectant. They have had haven't had a suicide for months.
There you are. Proof positive. The whole story is just a lot of moonshine. Nothing but an elaborate sell. Nobody likes to be sold as badly as that. But for all that, Gerald, have a drink.
Thanks. I think I could do with one now.
So could I.
And I must say, Gerald, you've argued this very cleverly, and I'm most grateful.
Well, you see, while I was out of the house, I had time to cool off and think things out a little.
Yes, he didn't keep you on the run as he did the rest of us. I'll admit now, he gave me a bit of a scare at the time, but but I'd a special reason for not wanting any public scandal just now. Well, here's to us. Come on, Sheila. Don't look like that. All over now.
The worst part is, but you're forgetting one thing I still can't forget. Everything we said had happened, really. Had happened. If it didn't end tragically, then that's lucky for us, but it might have done.
But the whole thing's different now. Come, come. You can see that, can you? Can't you? You all helped to kill her, and I wish you could have seen the look on your faces when we said that. Going to bed, young woman?
I want to get out of this. It frightens me the way you talk.
Nonsense. You'll have a good laugh over it. Look, you'd better ask Gerald for that ring you gave back to him, hadn't you? Then you'll feel better.
You're pretending everything's just as it was before.
I'm not.
No, but these others are.
Well, isn't it? We've been had, that's all.
So nothing really happened. So there's nothing to be sorry for, nothing to learn. We can all go on behaving just as we did.
Well, why shouldn't we?
I tell you, whoever that inspector was, it was anything but a joke. You knew it then. You began to learn something and now you've stopped. You're ready to go on in the same old way.
And? You're not, eh?
No, because I remember what he said, how he looked and how he made me feel. Fire and blood and anguish. And it frightens me the way you talk and I can't listen to any more of it.
And I agree with Sheila. It frightens me too.
Well, go to bed then. And don't stand there being hysterical.
They're overtired. In the morning, they'll be as amused as we are.
Everything's all right now, Sheila. What about this ring?
No, not yet. It's too soon. I must think.
Now look at the pair of them. The famous younger generation. Who know it all. And they can't even take a joke. Yes, Mr. Burling speaking. What? Here? That was the police. A girl has just died on her way to the infirmary after swallowing some disinfectant. And a police inspector is on his way here to ask some questions.
Was an inspector calls read for you by Mr. McGowan in the role of Mr. Burling. Miss Rashid in the role of Mrs. Burling. Mr. Cornish in the role of Gerald. Miss Meeks in the role of Sheila. Mr. Lloyd in the role of Eric. And our wise inspector was Mr. Neil. Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this performance.
Thank you.